This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Mother's Day comes this Sunday, which means every teenager and adult with a computer is getting ready to send that cheery e-card of love and appreciation. The only concern is what happens when it reaches its destination. QWERTY keyboards and fast-paced texting may still furrow a few brows, but moms get better and better with technology, and they've opened up entirely new lines of communication with their children online, with emails, texts, blogs, and instant messages, and on social networking sites like Facebook and Twitter. And whether it's an IM asking for tech support or finding a way to explain that you blocked your mom from your MySpace page so she can't friend all your friends, the moms of the kids of Generations X and Y are going boldly where no moms ever went before. Is this a good thing? Kids, what's the latest email or text you got from your mom? And moms, how do you communicate with your kids online? Our phone number is 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. And you can join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Later, well, I've been known to say that I got 800 on both of my SATs, which isn't a lie, really, and it's more than a half-truth in my mind anyway. What do you exaggerate about and why? Send us an email now. The address is talk@npr.org. But first, Mothers Online. We begin with Linda Lowen. She writes about women's issues for About.com, and she's the mother of two herself, 14 and 16. She joins us from member station WAER in Syracuse, New York. Nice to have you on the program today.
Thanks for having me.
And I wonder, I assume you communicate with your teens online?
I do, but I do it with reservation, as in I let them extend a hand first. Sometimes they want to, sometimes they don't. I'll say this, the 16-year-old basically wants me to lay low and to keep radio silence unless she reaches out. The 14-year-old, though, she's pretty good about communicating with me.
She's pretty good. And was there a natural progression from texting to Twitter?
They are not into Twitter, believe it or not. Mom is into Twitter. But, you know, I've always been an early adopter. And sometimes what I've learned is if mom pushes the technology, it's creepy. But if they discover it on their own, then it's okay.
And that may be a big lesson for all of us to learn.
Absolutely.
Don't be pushy.
Yeah, and don't try to be too cool before your time. There's a reason why moms are moms and kids are kids.
And as you, I assume as you get replies and some experience with this, you can expand your activity, but it almost, I think, makes kids nervous when their mothers suddenly seem, well, a little bit more technologically advanced.
Well, I think it makes them nervous when you start to intervene in their space. I mean, they don't call it MySpace for nothing. And I found that the more I try to push my way into their online life, the more they get resentful in the real world. But if I back off and I let how things are going in the real world dictate our cyber relationship, then I'm usually in good shape.
Okay. Now, moms, though, can take it too far online.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, we all know the story of Lori Drew, the stalker MySpace mom who created a fake persona so that she could, you know, sort of step in and intervene in her daughter's life. And, you know, that's the one thing that I say to people when I talk to them about, you know, how shall I interact with my kids, whether they're younger or teens or even older and they're dating and maybe they're off at college. Be who you are. Don't pull a Lori Drew, because when you start to take on a fake persona, you know, you all through life, online, offline, in the real world, you want to model the kind of person that you want your kids to be. And when you start lying online to investigate what's going on in their lives, not a good idea. No, not at all.
I suspect not. And I wonder, well, let's see if we get some listeners in on this conversation. 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. Let's begin with Katie. Katie calling us from Lansing in Michigan.
Hi, this is such a great topic. I have five sisters, and we spent a couple of months trying to teach my mom how to text. And it took a long time. Once she got the hang of it, she just thinks it's the greatest thing ever, and her new discovery is that she can text us all at once. And I am newly single and dating again, and I'm dating this one particular guy now, and she texts me all the time with dating advice and questions asking about it. It's just the funniest thing in the middle of work or whatever.
Give us an example of something she might have sent you recently.
Okay, so recently, I was kind of wondering if this guy was really that into me or not. I'm not big on being the initiator in the relationship, and that's kind of been my role in this one. It's different for me. And my mom keeps encouraging me and telling me that's totally okay. So I'm from a small town, and this guy is from the same small town. So my mom, of course, knows everyone that he knows. And her latest text was about the person who massages his best friend and the scoop that she got from him, and advice telling me what I should do based on that.
And do you think her advice is good?
Excuse me?
Do you think she gives good advice? Hi, Katie?
Oh, hello. I think I'm losing you.
All right, Katie. Well, thanks for the call and happy texting. Okay, we're losing Katie. Anyway,
you know, and it's too bad because I would have asked Katie, does she text the type of things that she wouldn't talk to her daughter face-to-face or on the phone? You know, like somebody massaging somebody. That might get a little... One of the things that I found about texting or all of these online, you know, social media interactions, I call them the car ride of the 21st century because you know why? Nobody's making eye contact with each other. And so that way, you feel a little more secure. You know what I mean?
The car ride, of course, when you're coming back from the bus stop or whatever, that was the place you could talk with your parents as long as you both stared out the windows in opposite directions.
Right, because then you could feel comfortable. You're telling your story. You're not seeing your mom's horrified reaction or you as a mother sharing, you know, some tidbit about, gee, I didn't really like what you did or how you left your room or what I know you did with your friends behind my back. And I think that, you know, it's recognized. I mean, I've heard therapists describe it that way. So that's what I think. I think that social media, especially online and texting, IMing, all of this, it's a way to replicate the car ride, except the car ride, as in Katie's case, it goes with her everywhere.
Yeah, interesting. Also, even though they call it instant messaging, you can pause and swallow, maybe take a couple of breaths before you put out that instant reaction.
Well, it's a funny thing about instant messaging because instant messaging isn't so instant and it isn't so one-on-one. I mean, if you ever watch a teenager's habits or a young adult's habits with IM, they're not just having one conversation with you. They're having multiple conversations. I mean, literally 2, 3, 4, 5 people are IMing each other in separate conversations. And sometimes I've noticed my teen starting to talk to somebody, but she's on the wrong conversation. Oh, you really have to watch that.
Ooh, yes. And don't ever hit the send all button. Anyway, let's go to Matthew. Matthew with us from Sacramento in California.
Hi, am I on air?
Yes, you are.
Right on. I actually got kicked out of my parents' house, and my mom decided that MySpace would be the best way to like try to communicate with me because I didn't really call them anymore. And I think the thing I was most impressed with was that my mom actually designed her MySpace profile, and like the background was like light blue, and it had like flowers and stuff, and the pictures, and all kinds of like really mom-related things. And it's kind of embarrassing because I don't actually even use MySpace, and she was trying really hard, and I kind of felt bad for her.
But hey, you know, it's that though is impressive because a lot of people complain, oh, MySpace, for those, you know, Facebook is easy for us old timers who just can't put a whole lot of new thoughts in our head. And, you know, MySpace, there's HTML, there's CSS, cascading style sheets. So it sounds like she's tried.
She did. But I taught her how to use email because that's how I really talk. And I mean, my parents both have really gotten on board with technology now that I've, you know, kind of tutored them in it. And
Matthew, it sounds from what you're saying is it's made, an estrangement a little bit less estranged.
It has, yeah, because they still call me for tech support. and that gives them an excuse to call me, and that's been great.
That's great, Matthew. Continue good luck, and send her a nice message for Mother's Day, okay?
All right, right on, thanks.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can go now to Audrey. Audrey with us from Fort Myer in Florida.
Yes, hi, how are y'all?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. I just wanted to comment that, or question rather, I wondered where do you think the people like me who have a 6-year-old daughter who's into Webkinz, which is like the earliest form, I think, of online internet working, and myself who I have a MySpace page, but it's mainly to keep up with old friends from high school and college. But I have a mom, and she's a grandmother, and she texts me every now and then, just very small, you know, but we email all the time. So I wondered, where do you see these generations, like my daughter, do you think this will be a fad, or do you think this will continue the next years?
I Yeah, I think it's going to continue. And, you know, you are at that cusp. My kids both have aged out of Webkinz. And at the time they were online, they were doing something called Neopets. And it was, you know, Neopets is similar to Webkinz. The whole idea of Webkinz is that you buy a stuffed animal. There's a code. You type the code into the computer. And then you see that stuffed animal have its own cyber life. So you can feed it. You can dress it. And what you do is you need to earn points to get to feed it and to get other accessories. If I'm describing it correctly, Audrey, yes. That's how it works, right?
But there is a little bit of chat involved. You can make friends and send each other gifts and messages. So it's a little bit of a networking at the same time.
Well, here's a question. Have you ever thought about buying your own, of course, letting her know that you're doing this, but buying your own Webkinz stuffed animal, having your own presence online and interacting with her on that way? Or would she find that creepy?
Well, actually, I think it's fun. So whenever she's almost finished, I'm like, I'll go to work for you, or let me dress your pet.
You know what? You're not alone in that. You're absolutely not alone.
It is.
I have done that with my own kids. I used to sneak onto Neopets when they were not around. I mean, they would leave the account open, and I would say, hey, Mom's going to win you some points. But, you know, it's... It's a way of showing that you care about what they're doing online. I mean, my 14-year-old sent me an email a couple weeks ago, and she sent me about 3 to 5 links, and she keeps asking, did I follow them? Did I follow them? And, you know, it's sort of like a link is like your picture on the refrigerator. And if I'm not looking at the picture on the refrigerator and praising it, then she feels like I'm ignoring her. So the mere fact that you're interacting with her in this way and she sees Mom's having fun with what I'm doing, Mom values what I do. I mean, you're doing good work. You're raising her right. But you did bring up a good point about interacting with her grandmother as well. I have yet to find the site that brings 3 generations together. I think the next person who figures that out is going to be a millionaire.
Audrey, good luck.
Great, thanks.
And happy Mother's Day. We're talking about moms and I guess about grandmoms and daughters and sons online. What is communication like? What's the most recent email or IM you've gotten from your mom? Give us a call. 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Usually you've got to tighten up the privacy settings on your Facebook page because of your employer, but there might be another person looking at those shots of you in Cancun, your mother. Moms are taking their gentle nagging advice, more importantly, their unconditional love to the web. In honor of Mother's Day, you've got a card already, right? We're celebrating this particular brand of mothering on the web. Tell us your stories, kids. What's the latest email or text you got from your mom? And moms, how do you communicate with your kids online? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also check out our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. And this is an email we got from Jamie, who sent along the email he most recently received from his mom. How have you fared in the storms today? We heard severe storms and tornadoes. Let me know how you two are. Our guest is Linda Lowen, who writes about women's issues for About.com. And boy, safety, letting us know how you are, that's got to be message one between moms and children.
You know, that absolutely is message one. And when Jamie mentioned his mother's email about the storms, I know for my mother-in-law, she was the family, she was the disseminator, she was the aggregator, because my husband comes from a family of 5, and the oldest daughter lived in San Diego during all of the wildfires. And she often had to leave the house, you know, on very short notice. But thank goodness for email, because, you know, phones were out, everything was out. She could go to a nearby cafe, she could send the email to her mother, and my mother-in-law would disseminate it. And I think of all the opportunities that the internet brings us, that's got to be number one.
Let's see if we could get another caller in. Vicki with us from Liberty in Missouri.
Hi,
go ahead, please.
Well, I'm the mom, and I have a grown daughter who keeps a blog, and through a series of links, I came across it, and I don't think she knows I'm pretty sure she doesn't know that I read her blog. And it's been a really great thing in a lot of ways. We're really close. We talk often on cell phone and all that, and email a lot, but it's given me kind of an insight that I wouldn't have gotten ordinarily.
Isn't that the expression for somebody who, a lurker? Are you a lurker on your daughter's blog?
I feel a little voyeuristic, yes. But what I really like about it is she's gone through some hard times. She's lost her job recently. And the most recent blog she posted was a pictorial expression of how she's doing right now, which was a little bit upsetting, but it was also kind of great because I knew that she needed a little more mothering, a little nurturing. But the downside of it is whenever we talk, I have to be really careful not to say something. So I hear you're, you know, suffering or whatever, or you did this the other night, because I got that information from her blog and not from her directly. So yeah. I get confused sometimes.
Yeah, you understand the problems that code breakers have. You can't disclose the fact that you've broken the code. Linda Lowen, is this a valuable approach, do you think?
Oh, Vicki, you know what? My heart goes out to you because you have a window into your daughter's soul, and yet you, I think you feel, am I getting it right? You feel a little guilty, maybe?
I do feel a little guilty.
You do feel guilty. And I have to say, I'm impressed that you could find it.
Well, I mean, I felt when I found her diary one time.
Oh.
I read. Mm-hmm. I'm not listening, but I do feel a little guilty, but on the other hand, I feel really privileged. Because, right, it is a glimpse into her soul that it's pretty marvelous.
I just want to warn you, however, as somebody who blogs, and I have 7 different blogs in addition to my writing for About.com, there are some devices that the blogger can put on the blog that shows them where incoming viewers are coming from. And they show pretty specifically, as in the city, the location, the ISP. So you might want to be careful about this.
Yeah, read your daughter's blog from the library.
Yeah, somewhere. Or make sure she doesn't have a really tech-savvy boyfriend who can trace back and find out mom's snooping on you. She's not going to like that.
Excellent advice. Thank you very much.
And happy Mother's Day, Vicki.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Joining us now is Dori Shafrir, a staff writer for the New York Observer, who joins us from our bureau, NPR West, in Culver City, California. Nice to have you with us today.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
Also with us, Jessica Gross, an editor for the women's blog Jezebel, who joins us from our bureau in New York. And nice to hear from you, too.
Hi.
Together, they co-founded Postcards from Yo Mama, a website that turns user-submitted emails and chat transcripts from real moms, well, into, well, astounding entertainment. Nice to have you on the program today.
Thanks.
And Dori, how did you come up with the idea to create this website?
One day, Jessica and I were IMing, and she sent me an email from her mom that she thought was really funny. And I said, oh, that sounds like something my mom would say. And I sent her a couple emails from my mom, and then we decided it would be really funny if we just put up a website with emails from people's moms.
And it grew from there. Jessica Gross, what are some of the more interesting ones you've received?
Well, my favorite, I think, ever is just a really simple one where the mother is saying, "Your hair looks really pretty today," because I think it sort of expresses the mother love in just a really concise manner, and it was also adorable.
Now, I know that you guys are compiling a book now about some of the best of these, and there's a chapter 6 in your proposed book that says, there are a lot of new jobs out here, no pressure. And here's an email from a mom. "Hey, tough cookie, please don't poo-poo this about not liking your job. Was on Oprah today. This guy, Marcus Buckingham, was on. Don't feel bad about 84% of the people in the workforce hate their jobs, too. Go to oprah.com/workshop. It's a free workshop. I can hear you thinking, and go look at it before you think it's stupid. What can it hurt? The whole show was on it. Love, Mom."
Yeah, that's a good one.
a lot of them are like that, the sort of motherly message, self-improvement. I assume there's a fair number of recipes, too.
There are. There are a bunch of recipes, and there are a bunch of, you know, oh, you'd love my artichoke dip, and moms sort of emailing all of that to their kids.
In chapter 1, your blob is so funny and clever. One mother writes, "Please clean up your Facebook. Sex, drugs, lesbian stuff, no religion. People look at that before they hire you. President Bush gets reports about this stuff, too. Listen to your mother. Have a little common sense, for goodness sake. Have some Christian values." Now, that's a mom.
I have to laugh if that's a, you know what, that mom should probably, I don't know. That's one of those things that I'm going to have to hear from you, Dori, and you, Jessica, because that would not be something that I would do, because that's already starting to put a wedge, you know, and to make the daughter be aware of, oh, God, mom's out there, and she's, like, policing me at every step.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that would get an eye roll from most children.
Well, it would also get a block.
I think, Yeah, I mean, I think you're a lot more tech savvy than a lot of the most of the moms whose emails are getting submitted to us. So I think a lot of moms don't really understand Facebook. They don't understand MySpace. It's just this kind of big, scary thing to them.
And I wonder, how big is the generation gap, do you think, Dory?
I think it varies. I think that there is this kind of desire of moms to stay close to their kids, and they do want to know a lot about their kids, but at the same time, they are not very conversant in sort of internet lingo, and you see that a lot on some of the chats we have up, moms just sort of not understanding that GChat does not mean that their kids can see them, and, questions about emoticons, and so there is a lot of sort of moms wanting kids to explain technology to them.
That tech support call that we've heard so much about. Here's an email we got from Aubrey. I'm a working commercial artist in San Francisco, recently finished grad school here in the city. My proud mother sent me a surprise email announcing, or inviting me rather, to view my page, as in my page. In honor of my graduation and artistic accomplishments, my mother had made a MySpace page displaying artwork I'd done for corporate offices in San Francisco, artwork I'd done for hometown art fair competitions in my youth, language arts high school project posters, as well as photos of me as a child and so forth. Needless to say, I was not pleased with the impact this MySpace page might have on my professional image, and quite quickly asked her to dismantle her baby book tribute. I had no idea my mother could or had any idea how to launch a full-fledged worldwide web assault on all the hard work it had taken for me to become an adult. In one fell click of the mouse, I was reduced to naked baby photos of me in the tub with bubbles on my head.
Wow. Do you think, though, that's a carryover of I still want to be important in your life?
I think it is. I think it must be, but also that you are so important in mine, which I suspect he probably knew already.
Well, that's sort of a hard line to walk. I think all mothers have this unconditional love for their children that they can't help but show. And while the children have the same thing back, you know, part of growing up is moving away from that. So I think these emails sort of show the negotiation between, you know, the expression of love between mother and child.
The negotiation, that's an interesting word to use.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, I think most children love their parents, but it can be a little more fraught because they're, you know, especially in, you know, early 20s, they're trying to grow apart. And so they can't rely on their mothers anymore in the same way maybe mothers still want them to rely on them.
Do you think, Dory, that there might be an interesting book written by mothers about the emails and IMs that they've gotten from their children?
Definitely. And, you know, sometimes people will forward us exchanges that they've had with their mothers. And we haven't really been posting those because we've been concentrating on emails from moms. But the responses from kids are very interesting. And I think, you know, a lot of times kids are a little more petulant than they probably think they are.
Here's another email, this one from Aaron. I'm 35 years old and moved from Texas, where my mom is, to California 7 years ago. My mom is able to keep me safe, even from all these miles away, through emails. Apparently, it's easy to harass in a one-sided fashion. The best one is from a few years ago when I emailed her to let her know I was going to go skiing for the first time in my life. She wrote back a long email about safety precautions, etc., and she ended it with one statement in giant letters, "Remember Sonny Bono."
moms love all caps.
Yes, moms love all caps. I think you got the point across there. And of course, I'm sure Aaron took great care not to ski headlong into a tree.
Right.
Let's see if we can go now to caller Susan. Susan with us from Riverside in California.
Hi. The latest email my mom sent me, she's always sending me emails, and the latest one was about tactics to watch out for when you're out by yourself, like, you know, beware rapists, do this, and just kind of emails that are really scary, warning you not to, you know, get out of your car if you get bumped and you're alone, and that's the newest tactic they have, you know, watch out, you might get raped and stuff. And I don't know where she gets those emails from. I think maybe she gets it from other moms to send her, and then she sends it on to us. She has four girls, so.
So I take it that caused some eye rolling when you received it.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I guess I kind of do watch out for stuff after I read emails, but it's kind of like, don't worry, Mom, stop.
Thanks very much, Susan.
Thank you.
I just have to say to Susan and to everybody, Aaron too, earlier, that I don't have a lot of sympathy for you, because you know what? I grew up in the generation where you had to take the phone call, and there wasn't, you know, screening, so you knew who was on the other end. So you got your mother when you were thinking that your boyfriend was going to call. And then there would be half an hour where you would either have to cradle the phone on your shoulder, but you really didn't want to listen because she was basically screaming at you in all caps. So it's a terrific world in which you can see that email and you can just sort of, you know, put it into the delete pile, and so there you go. I mean, you have to skim it, obviously, because she's going to ask you, did you catch my email? And you say yes, but oh, it's such a better world for you.
And Jessica and Dory, I wonder, have you put emails from your moms in this collection?
Yes.
We have, but they will remain anonymous forever.
Names have been changed to protect the guilty.
Exactly.
Indeed.
Good luck with the book.
Thank you.
Dory Shafrir is a staff writer for the New York Observer with us from our bureau NPR West in Culver City, California. Jessica Gross, an editor for Jezebel.com with us from our bureau in New York. Together, they co-founded the website Postcards from Yo Mama, and there's a link to it on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Linda Lowen is still with us, who writes about women's issues for About.com. Here's another email. We have this from Carla in Toledo. I set up a Facebook account when my son went to college last August, though he calls me Stalker Mom. I have really liked being able to see pictures of all his new friends, plus many of my kids' friends have friended me, and I get to talk to them, too. Again, the kid is off at college. Is this too much?
Well, you know, the kid accepted her request to be a friend, and that's where it comes in, because he could have said no to her. So he let her in. I know with my own daughter, my older daughter, she said, don't send me a friend request, and I didn't. But I have friends who have sent friend requests to their daughters and sons, and they've been allowed in, and they see what's going on. Although I believe that there are limited features in which you can block somebody out from some of your content. But again, it's that dance between mother and child. How much do I let mom into my life? And I say, Carla, you're lucky, because a lot of the kids I know, they would not have accepted that friend request, and you'd be out in the cold. Although I'll tell you a little cheat that a friend of mine told me. She uses another sibling and peeks over that kid's shoulder to get into the into Facebook or MySpace if they've been blocked. So she says, I can't use it too much because my younger daughter is going to be a little, you know, mom, get off of me. You know, let me just do what I want to do. But it is an option if you think there's a crisis situation and you really need to check up on your child, you know, check with the siblings. They might let you in.
Here's another one. This email from Sharon R. I regularly text my son, who's away at college. Absolutely the best way to contact him. He's really good at calling me back. I don't check out his MySpace page because there are just some things I don't want to read, which is probably a good thing to recognize. And this email from Margaret in La Crosse, Wisconsin. For the past 8 years, I've sent a Monday morning email to my older and then my younger daughter at their respective colleges. The content of the email is pretty predictable. Weather, family, updates, goings-on in our small city, etc. Neither daughter has responded very much to these messages because, after all, their lives are so much more interesting than mine. However, whenever I miss a Monday, I do get an email or phone call asking if everything is all right. And that is as it should be. Moms are meant to be predictable and in the background, even with technology. You also mentioned some nice words about Talk of the Nation. Thanks very much for that, Margaret. And would you agree, Linda Lowen, that maybe in the background and that sort of distance is a good idea?
You know, when you were reading Margaret's letter, I was getting little shivers all over, because I think every one of us, adults, children, wouldn't we like to get a letter from someone we love that doesn't, you know, put any burden on us, emotionally speaking, but just says, here's the weather, here's what happened, this is what's going on. And it's just, it's a way of reaching out, but there's no emotional need. And I think if there's one thing that I've learned, when parents get very emotionally needy in either the text messaging or the IM or the emails and start to place that burden on the child, no matter what age, will push away. But if you can just say, hey, here I am, here's what's going on, just want to touch base with you, that makes for a very comfortable relationship that's probably going to have legs in the long run.
Linda Lowen, thanks very much for being with us, and happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
Linda Lowen writes about women's issues for About.com, and she joined us from the studios of member station WAER in Syracuse, New York. Coming up, the best segment ever. Seriously, it's all about exaggeration. So stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.